God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you and speak of your love and grace. Amen. A few days ago, many of us gathered here in the evening to mark the beginning of the season of Lent. We confessed together the ways we fail to love God and our neighbors. We heard the words of assurance that God is gracious and forgives our failings. And we were nourished by the bread and wine and promise of the holy meal. And of course, many of us received on our foreheads that cross marked in ashes. The dark smudges that mark our foreheads on Ash Wednesday call us to remember another time when we are marked with the cross. In baptism, when cool water runs over our heads and our foreheads are marked with a cross in oil, oil that is a sign of blessing and healing. Lent has always been tied closely to the sacrament of baptism. In the early church, the time before Easter was a final period of instruction for new followers of Jesus who were preparing to be baptized at Easter after a period of preparation that lasted for up to 3 years for some people. So those last weeks before that Easter when they would be baptized was the home stretch for them. And the whole community of the church walked with these new believers in those last weeks of preparation. But it was really the new folks who devoted extra time to fasting and study and prayers in that period. But it must have looked like a good idea for others too, because eventually the time before Easter became the season of Lent, a time when all believers, whether new or not, would focus on stripping away distractions and returning the focus of their life to God. Around this time of year, just before Lent, we always hear the story of Jesus' baptism. We hear the story of Jesus wading into the Jordan River with his wild cousin, John. The sky opens up as Jesus comes up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove. And the voice of God declares, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." Jesus' ministry starts with this affirmation of his identity as God's beloved child, as God's chosen one, his identity as someone special. In the gospel story for today, Jesus enters the wilderness just after his baptism. And it is exactly Jesus' identity and his call affirmed in his baptism that the tempter tries to distort as Jesus fasts and prays in the wilderness. "If you are the Son of God," the tempter begins. "If," he whispers, as if there is some question about Jesus' identity, some doubt in God's love for him and God's faithfulness. "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread," the tempter needles. Here you are out in the wilderness. You've been praying and fasting in devotion to God, starving, when there are all those other schmucks out there who are doing whatever they want, filling their bellies and not thinking a thing about it. You've got the power. What harm is there in you to get a little something for yourself? Just a mouthful of bread can't hurt. But Jesus knows he can trust God to provide. And he knows he is chosen not to serve himself, but to serve others. "If you are the Son of God," the tempter tries a second time, "shouldn't people know just who you are?" Here we are in the center of all the action at the top of the temple. "Throw yourself down and watch as angels appear and lift you up. Imagine what people will say when they see that. Then they'll know who's boss, right?" But Jesus knows that the way he will heal and draw people to God is by the way of the cross, not the way of glory. The tempter tries one last time. "Worship me, and I will give you everything." then you can rule over everything and everyone in your way of love as you wish. What's the harm in that? But Jesus sees the lie in the tempter's promise. The world is not his to give. Everything is in God's hands. When I was a kid, one of my best friends was a girl named Teresa. I think she was one of my earliest friends after my sister, and we became friends entirely on her initiative. One day, we were both playing in the basement nursery of the Baptist church in town, while our mothers were upstairs singing and eating pasta salad with the Christian women's luncheon. We had never met before that day, but as I was busy at the play kitchen in the nursery, Teresa came up beside me and she stuck her face right up next to mine and said, "Wanna be friends?" Well, I guess I said yes, because we became friends and were friends for the next 10 years or so, even though we didn't go to the same school for most of that time. Teresa had a gift for an honesty and forthrightness from a very early age. She didn't hide what she thought, and that was sometimes uncomfortable as her friend, but sometimes very useful. When we were playing and someone interrupted us or started bugging us, which was often one of her younger twin sisters, she would turn to them and she had this way of saying simply, "Go away," that was so powerful because she said it with such disdain that it almost always worked. Whether it was a peer who was bugging us at a softball game or one of her sisters, they usually went away, because Teresa made it so clear that she was not giving them any permission or power to take her time or shape her reality. I thought about my friend Teresa when I read the end of our gospel story for today, because in the end, Jesus says to the tempter, "Go away. You will have no power over me." Jesus let the tempter know that he, Jesus, knew who he was called to be, that he trusted in God's love and faithfulness, and Satan just had no power to undermine or change that. I imagine that temptation for most of us doesn't look quite like it looked for Jesus. It doesn't come in the midst of the wilderness, with Satan himself, a very clear bad guy, whispering in our ears. Temptation comes to us in the ordinariness of our lives, on days when we are comfortable or bored or maybe struggling or perfectly happy. The temptations we each struggle with are probably different, but I imagine many of those temptations can look like something good. Like Eve saw as she looked at the tree, it looked delightful. Temptations look like something good, maybe even something good for us, even when they lead to pain and heartache, whether it's our pain or someone else. But I wonder if behind all of those different temptations is our doubt or forgetting that we are God's beloved children. That we are children of God and called to be God's agents of mercy. The tempter whispered to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God," conjuring doubts about who Jesus was and what he was called to do. I wonder if our temptations also are those things that cause us to doubt who we are and what we are called to do as children of God. What things get in the way of you knowing and remembering that you are a beloved child of God? I think about the way advertisements so often are designed to make us feel inadequate about our hair or our teeth or bodies or financial portfolios or houses or cars. And now we have social media, too, to give us all sorts of pictures of other people's lives that look so perfect and make us wonder what is going on in ours. I think, too, sometimes the political conversation that is happening now in our country, and maybe always, and maybe everywhere, that it plays on our insecurities, our fears that maybe someone else is getting something that we need or that we will need. They tell us the lie that God does not provide enough for everyone in God's world. And they make us afraid. They turn us away from our trust in God and turn us away from our neighbors. What things get in the way of you knowing you are a beloved child of God? Is it anxiety about money or other anxieties about the future? Insecurity about your work? A hard relationship with a family member or a friend? Loneliness or fear? In baptism, we hear the promise that God claims us as God's own children. A cross is drawn in oil on our foreheads, and nothing can wipe that cross away. Nothing can take away God's claim on us. The dark cross that is smudged on our foreheads each Ash Wednesday calls us to spend the season of Lent remembering that other cross that marks our foreheads in baptism, remembering who we are. Jesus, following his baptism, was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit for a time of fasting and prayer to remind him who he was and strengthen him for the journey ahead, strengthen him to do what he was called to do. So maybe that's what this season of Lent is for us too, a time to remember who we are and what we are called to do as God's children. If you do nothing else this Lent, maybe considering these two questions each day is enough. What do I understand about who God wants me to be? What am I learning about what God wants me to do? Maybe just thinking about these two questions each day and even writing some notes down, you might look back come our celebration of Easter and be surprised at what you see in your remembering. In these times, it seems to me that God's world is not helped by people who are plagued by doubt and insecurity, who are fearful and focused on protecting what they see as theirs. God needs us to live as beloved children of God, full of hope, certain of God's power to heal and God's desire to bring life to all God's world, and ready to be God's workers for the kingdom of God made real now. Let it be so with us. Amen.